Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. And we're one line down from the top. Tanur Rabbanan. Yikohu Asara Bnei Adam V'Asara Maklot Umeit. If 10 people beat someone with 10 different sticks, meaning in other words, it wasn't 10 people all at one Tanuraj, but at least it's Bedayik this way, that if 10 people would have held the same Makel and hit him, then maybe we could be Mechayev. But although the Rambam is much more not like that. But in any event, here we have 10 separate attacks from 10 separate people. Umeit. Bein bevatachat, bein bezachrazeh. Whether these attacks took place simultaneously, and the man dies as a result of all of them, or whether they took place one after the other, all of the people involved in the attack are potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir omer, bezeh achazeh ha'acharon chayat. In a case where they're not simultaneous, but one follows the other, then the last one would be chayev, b'nei shekirev et mitato. Because by giving him that last dash, he made it that he died that much quicker. Mashenken, if it was done simultaneously, we can't say that any particular one of them was Makare this Misa, he was just another Gorem in his Misa. Omer Rav Yochanan, V'shneyem Mikra Chadoshu. Both the Chachomim and Rav Yehuda ben Beseira are actually being Medayik from the same Pasuk. It says, V'ish ki yakeh kol nefesh Adam. So what is the meaning of kol nefesh Adam? Rabbanan Savre kol nefesh ad de'ika kol nefesh. Rabbanan say the meaning of kol nefesh is that it's got to be his responsibility that he took the whole nefesh. And since in this case, the other people who had beat the man earlier were certainly part of the gorem of his death, what it was that the last one had done wouldn't have killed him on his own, in which case, you cannot be mechayvim because he's not the kol nefesh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Savar, kol nefesh means any bit of nefesh. Kol nefesh adam. Kol dehu nefesh. Now, it's not exactly the way that it looks over here, because, first of all, there seems to be a built-in contradiction. If you're going to say kol dehu nefesh, then the question would be, why wouldn't all ten be chayiv? Right? Because, I mean, they've all taken a kol dehu, a little bit of a nefesh. So that, we have to say, is because, no, the Pasuk is talking about an individual. It says, ish ki yakeh, not shnei anashim shel yakum. So ish ki yakeh tells me that it can't literally mean that if I'm doing it simultaneously that I would be chayev, because this is a little bit of the nefesh. So already we have to distinguish that what we're referring to is a kol nefesh adam, where my action as an ish can be defined as a kol dehu nefesh. All right, if that's the case, then we really, as Tosis points out, it's not that we're arguing directly about the pasuk. We're arguing about the rationale in how to apply the pasuk. And therefore, the Gemara now goes to explain what the machlokas really is about. Omar Rava, hakol modim bahoreget ha-trefa shehu patur. Now, everybody would be moda that someone who kills an individual who is actually a trefa already. When we say a trefa over here, we mean that he's technically a trefa. So he has one of the trefos, there is a specific element in him that can be traced that will lead to his ultimate demise. So in that case, everybody is moda that he's potter, because we see over here that the machlokas is only about a case in which there's been a gross overall effect that has weakened the person and that ultimately is going to bring about his death. But if there was a specific trefa, that they weren't arguing about. Furthermore, everybody is also moda that a gosek bidei shamayim shehu chayav. There's no question that a person who is still alive, despite the fact that he may be on his deathbed, and only has 5 minutes to live, that has absolutely nothing to do with the question of whether one would be chayav in murdering him. So in other words, the two tzadim, if there's a clear-cut effect that we can trace physiologically, this is what is going to kill the man, then the fact that he is killed earlier than he would otherwise have died, he's considered to be already a gavra ketela. He's considered, for all intents and purposes, to be dead.
That's a
kreifa. On the other hand, despite the fact that we know that he's going to be dead within 5 minutes, but we can't specifically identify a cause of death, he's just dying. He's at an age in which His life is over. Right? They say, this is the problem, this is the problem. He's shutting down, basically. So therefore, we don't have a clear-cut sibat hamavet that was caused by something. It's just that the organism is now breaking down. So that's called the goseis b'dei shamayim. Nothing was done to cause this. Over there, everybody is motivated. The Torah is makbid on life. And it has nothing to do with the quality of life or the length of life. And certainly that is considered to be a chai, the kol davar. The machlokus over here is, how do we look at a case in which this person has been brought to death by something that was done to him, so people hit him, but there's no, again, I mean, he's dying. There's no question. We're not able to identify a specific trefa in him. There's none of the trefas, but he's dying. So the question over here is, what is the chiyuv? How do we look at it? Lo nech v'zela begoseis bidei adam. Mar medamele le trefa, umar medamele le goseis. So the Rabbanan say that in such a case, even if it was bezeach or zeh, the last one who was mekarev et mitato is nonetheless patur. Why? Because it's no different than being mekarev hamita shel ha-trefa. The guy has been hurt in such a way that he's being led to his death. Now maybe he'll have a few days to live, but it's over for him. So in such a case, it's no different than any of the other trefot. You know, it's not technically a trefa. But I'm not chayev. Mashein Kain Rav Yudah ben Beteira says, no, this is similar to a case of goseis b'dei shamayim, in which a person is dying through not having one specific trefa, but is shutting down. So in such a case, we see that the Torah doesn't give him any din of being already dead, and therefore being makarv mitato you would be chayev. What's the logic behind this? The Mandiyama who says that it's similar to a trefa. So the Chachomim say your potter bezach or zeh. So mandi medami leva trefa. Maitai melo medami leva goseis b'dei shamayim. How does he see this as being different than the regular goseis? And he explains, goseis b'dei shamayim lo yitavei b'maaseh. Someone who is a goseis, there is no cause of death. In other words, we can't, it's not just simply we cannot define the organic problem. There's no specific event that occurred. And since there's no event that occurred, we're talking about nature taking its course. This is part of life, is dying in this fashion. It takes a while to die, but until you're dead, you're alive. So therefore, why compare it to a goseis? Over here, there was a specific cause of death. And you're saying, you don't know the theology of it. So what? So you don't know. But you know, an event took place that obviously has had some kind, it may have been a subtle effect, but obviously this event had organic effect that led to the man's demise. And in such a case, you can't compare it to a goseis b'dei shamayim. Mandim and damele the trefa. So my time alone, the time of the goseis b'dei shamayim, again, goseis b'dei shamayim, lo itavid b'maaseh, hai itavid b'maaseh. So in this case, an act was done, and therefore we relate to the act as having created a situation in which he's a gavra ketela. Manda medamile le goseis b'dei shamayim, my time alone, medamile le trefa. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, who says that you would be chayev for being mekarev mitato. So that means that you hold that he's not considered to be a gavra ketela. That's because it's not similar to the case of gavra ketela, because by a trefa, mechatche simanim. By the trefa, we see the clear-cut organic issue that is leading to his death. In this case, we don't see the... So notice the question is, are we relating to the sibat ha-mavet as the gross event that has brought about the mavet? Or is the sibat ha-mavet the actual organic cascade of events that causes him to die? If we're talking about the organic issue, then we don't see an organic issue. All we see is the event that took place that caused organic issues that are too subtle for us to detect. So therefore, we consider this person essentially to be alive. Because where's the organic effect that is killing him? Show me that he's dead. Take a look at his body and point out to me why this man should be considered dead. Ah, you have information that you have from the outside of his body. Namely, that he sustained such and such a blow. No, I don't see that. And therefore, that doesn't figure in how it is that I'm going to be chayev when I relate to his body. The other way of looking at it is, the Torah was only Machayev when we don't have a Sibat HaMavet, to say an act that caused the Misa. So the question is, well, how do I look at the relationship of Treifa to Gesisa? Do we look at it as the event, or do we look at it as the cause? So this is the Machlokes between Rav Yehuda ben Beseira and the Chachamim here. And therefore, because they hold this Svara, they read the Pasuk differently. It's not that the Pasuk per se would be Machayev us to look at it in one way or the other. So remember, the general Machlokes of Kol Dehu Nefesh or Kol Ha Nefesh, that isn't the point.
Would today's modern science with tests, like, you know, now that livers are shutting down, you know, and kidneys are shutting down, would that be considered
no.
specific? No.
No, the Gemara Kulin says the Feirish, it's not that the philosophy like Refot Bata, but that's it's viewed as an insufficiency of knowledge rather than an additional knowledge. Because the point of the Treifot is that other things we know can be addressed. If you knew how, you'd be able to address these other things. So if the guy doesn't have a heart that's working, he's not a Treifa. You can give him a heart transplant. So the things that you don't know, that you don't have the technology for, that's not what makes him a Treifa. Okay, so again, gross effects. In general, what the halacha looks for. The halacha is not interested in the MRIs.
Even so, though those things would point out that the guy might have been a trifle, like you'd see a lung problem, and so there would be a...
Either you see it, you can see it, or you can't see it. An MRI is not going to see it. If you can't see it visually, an MRI doesn't make a difference. It's like finding a spot on your S-rig with a magnifying glass. It's not a spot. It's like finding out that things that spontaneously generate don't really. That's not called finding out. You can only deal with nature as it appears to a human being without additional tools. Otherwise, I mean, it's endless. You can't drink a cup of water because there's little animals in it.
You can't breathe.
That's right. So that's the cloud. Yibra Torah Klashon B'nei Adam. The Torah addresses us as primitive humans. Doesn't talk to us as if we're already knowledgeable about things that the eyes cannot see. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't say Hashem is Allah al Aretz. It would have said Hashem Aretz is Tovei V'Tehani. I mean, that's the way in which it talks to us is the way in which our eyes see things. Anyway, continues the Gemara. So here we have a machlokas now between Rav Yehuda ben Beseira and the Chachamim. Funny Tana Kamedu Rav Sheshet. The Ish Ki Yakeh Kol Nefesh Adam actually comes to teach Lahavi Hamaket Chaviro Ve'in Bo Kedei Lahamit. Somebody hit someone in a way that would not have killed him. Uba Acher Lahamito Shuhu Chayav. Because Kol Nefesh, whatever there is left, this guy took. Understand what? That's pshita. Obviously, if you couldn't have killed him, so what would be the point over here? What, we're going to be b'chayev someone who hit someone that wasn't shayev to be killed? No, sorry, you're right. Change that. Yesh bo kedei la'amit u'ba'achar ba'amito shu chayev. On the contrary, the drush over here was that the first makeh would have ultimately killed him. Let's say in 2 days. Now comes along this guy and finishes him off. And here it's telling me the Chiddush that it's Chayev, because he was Mekarevet Mitato, which means that he's not considered to be a Treifa, he's considered to be the equivalent of a Goses. Ah, so then it's Stomach Rebbe Yehuda ben Beteira. That means that this price, essentially, is following as if it's a given, the Sheet of Rebbe Yehuda ben Beteira. Omar Rava, Ha-Horegeta Treifa Patur, someone who murders a Treifa, is Patur, because he's considered to be essentially dead. But a treifa shaharag, if a treifa murders, then, interestingly enough, it depends. If he murders in the presence of the court, then he's chayav misa. But if he murders outside of the court, shalom bifnei beitin, he's potter. Bifnei beitin chayav, someone who murders in the presence of a court is chayav. Why? Dichtivu biarta haram mikirbecha. There is a chiyuv on Beis Din to act on the basis of what it is that they see. And since they see it, they don't require testimony. Now, obviously, this is only if they see it in the daytime. But if Bezdin sees something the nighttime, as Tosis points out, they require then the testimony of themselves in front of the Bezdin in order to be able to carry out the din. You can't use testimony in this case, as we'll see in a moment. So the only way that this works is for the courts to respond on their own to Biyarat Hara. But Shalobifnei Beit Din, if the murder takes place not in front of Beit Din, then we cannot be Machayev, the murderer, even though he's right here in front of us. He's Potter. The problem over here is that there is no way to be Machayev the Edim if they turn out to be Zomimim. Because they can't be more Chayev. What did they want to do? They wanted to get a Treifa killed. But even if they had killed a Treifa, they wouldn't be Chayev. So we can't do to them Kasher Zaman because the Chayev is not more than the actual act. So they wanted to kill a treifa, so they're potter, because killing a treifa is potter. But if they're potter, that means that we have no way of accepting their testimony. Because testimony means, by definition, that it has to be open for Azama. Therefore, the only way that Bezdin can act is on the basis of their own seeing, which doesn't require testimony. But if they would have required testimony, then there'd be no way to be Mechayev. So it turns out to be a breakdown, a logistical breakdown. That's the pashtus of this sugya. Now, the truth is, there's Reb Kivager, not here, but in Baba Kama, discusses this sugya. He learns that the Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech, because the truth is, what does the Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech have to do with the place of Eitz Chayna? Just say, if we don't need testimony, then he's a Rotzeach and he's Chayev because of Ritzicha. You don't need a new Chiyev of Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech. Because the only thing that testimony does is it provides for Bezdin, the equivalent of Bezdin seeing something. So we're not going to need Ubiyat Aramik Yerbecha to tell me that Bezdin is supposed to act. Of course Bezdin is supposed to act. That's what they're here for.
But will they without Aids?
Of course. If they saw the moon, they can be Makadosh the moon. If it happens at night, then they need Aids because they can't do the act of Din at the time. But over here, if it happens in the day that they see the guy murder, why can't they Paskin Halacha based on what they see?
Maybe just a little bit to kill a dead man. Why should they be able to kill somebody who's already dead?
Okay, that may be the issue, but it's clear that there's some new point over here. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's the Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech means that Bezdin is supposed to act in order to get rid of Ra, even if we would view this problem as being more than a logistical one. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Moshe Baruch is saying, let's say even that we could kill the man. Where do we see that? Bezdin is clear to kill somebody who's already dead. Maybe the problem is more than logistical. The reason that we turn it into a logistical problem is because since we have the chiyuv uviyarta ramikir becha, the point is not simply to carry out the din misa on this person. He's dead already, so maybe I don't have to carry out a din misa. But the point is I need to get rid of evil. That's my responsibility. So if that's the case, why do I need testimony? I have no other way of doing it. Then it becomes a logistical problem once I've established that there's a chiyuv of Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech. But you see, you need the new chiyuv, says the Reb Kivager, of Biyarat Hara Mikir Bech in order to force Bezdin to respond to the case of a treifa. So in any event, this would be edut she'ata yachol hazima. B'chol edut she'ata yachol hazima lav shme edut. We don't have testimony here because we can't put it together. Furthermore, says Rava, Haroveya et ha-treifa chayav, someone now who rapes a treifa or has intercourse with a male treifa would be chayav, whereas a treifa sh'rava b'fnei beidin only would be chayav. Someone who is a treifa, who acts out in front of Bezdin, this iser is chayav, but shalom b'fnei beidin is patur. Again, why? Seems to be repetitious. Bifnei beitin chayav, the Bezdin will act on the basis of what they see, because of the Yarta Hara Mikir Becha. Shelo bifnei beitin patur, tehavyalei educhi yatoyo kolo hazima. Same reasoning. Ask the Gemara, then why? Repeat it. Harsu lamali, you just said the same thing. I know how. What's the difference between the case over here and the previous case? There is one difference. The difference is, I might have thought that a roveat a treifa is equivalent to killing a treifa. Because if we're saying, for all intents and purposes, a trefa is dead, so in murdering a trefa, I'm not chayav because he's dead, then in having sex with a trefa, I'm not chayav because he's dead. If you have sex with a dead body, then even if that body in life would be usur on you, there's no issur. I mean, there's no chiyav. So, that's necrophilia. But it's not a chiyav in the Torah. So, maybe over here I should look at the trefa as being already dead. Therefore, comes along now the bride to tell me this additional case, that ma'u detema lahavi kamanda mishamesh meit. It should be the equivalent of being mishamesh with a dead body, not to be confused with the normal meaning of mishamesh meit, which means without an erection, but in this case it means the body that you're sleeping with is dead, not your own body is dead, so to speak. V'li pater, and you should be pater, kamashma, and the trefa is alive, and all that counts is mishum hana'ahu, va'it le'hana'ah. The intercourse is not a function of the person's technical life. It's a function of the realistic relationship with him sensually. There's no sensual difference in sleeping with a trefa or sleeping with somebody who's not a trefa. What do you care what's going on in some place in his lungs? So therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's exactly the same. The Omar Rava, Eidim Sheheinu B'Trefa V'Huzmu, Ein Neheragim, says Rava, if witnesses came forward to be made that a trefa did something that he would be chayev on, and then they end up being Eidim Zomim. So then we can't kill them, because even if they had killed the trefa, they wouldn't be chayev. A day trefa shuhuzmu neheragim. But if the Eidim themselves are trefa, and they end up having lied, it's like a trefa who killed. The trefa who killed is chayev. So here too, the Eidei trefa shuhuzmu are chayev. Says Rav Ashi, no, they're not chayev. Rav Ashi ma filu Eidei trefa shuhuzmu ein haragin, lefi she'einan bizomei zomimim. The Eidim now, that come to be Mazim, the Eidim, who had originally turned out to be Eidim Zomim, but originally tried to be Mekayev the Trefa, they are Eidim Shiata Yechola Zimam. Because all they're trying to do is get these Eidim who are Trefas killed. But even if they had killed these Eidim who are Trefas, they wouldn't have been killed. Which means that they are Eidim Shiata Yechola Zimam. So how could the Eidim themselves, if they are Trefa, ever be killed, since you don't have a Eidus Shaper Kol Azimah, in which case you'll have to ask. So, thank you. How did you know? Sensitivity. Right? So therefore you'll have to ask, if that's the case, how did this ever get started? Because if the Eidim that are going to be made against the Eidim who are being made are Eidus, now Shiata Yechol Azimah, then that means that the Eidim that are being made are Eidus Shiata Yechol Azimam, in which case the whole case falls apart. So what do we do with this? So Rashi says, the solution is that Rava holds that Eidim Zomimim is a Chiddush Hakra, and therefore, once it's a Chiddush, the din of Eidim Zomimim themselves isn't the same as other Eidus. Regular Eidus is about an event. Eidim Zomimim, the whole point of the Chiyuv of Eidim Zomimim is about something planned, not an actual event. In which case, none of the normal dinim of the Torah that demand such and such for Eidus Sha'atai Yechola Azimah would apply to the case of Eidim that are now being found Zomimim. Because in a Chiddush, you don't know to apply the dinim that would apply outside of that Chiddush. And therefore, you don't require, says Rava, for Eidim Zomimim, Eidut Shata Yechol Azimam, to be Mazim them. That's an interesting approach. Okay. There are other approaches, but Rashi holds that it's fundamentally different. So this Machlok is Rava. And Ravashi then would be a question of whether you require even L'Chasila Eidut Shata Yechol Azimah for being Mekayev of Eidim Zomimim. The Amar Rava, furthermore, Rava says, exploring this din of a trefa, is that a shor trefa shaharag is chayav. The shor shel adam trefa shaharag is patur, very fascinatingly. If the person who owns the shor that killed is a trefa, then that shore will not be killed. But if the shore itself is a trefa, then that shore will be killed. Why? My timer. Because Omar Korah Hashor Yisakel V'Gamba Alav Yumat. Since the Torah compares the death of the shore to the chiyav on the owner, Kol Heicha V'Kalinot Bebe Gamba Alav Yumat Karina Be'Ashor Yisakel. Wherever the din would be to be Mechayev the Baalim, so then there would be a chiyav on the shore. But Kol Heicha V'Lo Karina Bebe Gamba Alav Yumat Lo Karina Be'Ashor Yisakel. Whereas since in this case we cannot be Mechayev the Baalim, because the Baalim themselves are a trefa, so we cannot be Mechayev either the shore. Whereas Rav Ashi Omar, even if the shore is a trefa, it's potter. Because since even the Ilu Baalim Avu Ptire, Shore Nami potter. Because the comparison is even a step further. If the shore would be the Baalim, then he would be potter. So if he's the shore, he's also potter. Exactly. The next case was the case of somebody sicking a dog, or the case of the person who takes a nochash and then jams the nochash's teeth into the person. And we had a machlokus over here as to whether he would be chayev for such a thing, or even there he would be potter. Rav Yehuda says that he's chayev. So Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov kishi kimtza lomar, when you come to think about what the machlokus is between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, l'divrei Rav Yehuda, heres nachash ben shinavu omeid. According to Rav Yehuda, the venom of the snake is essentially automatically injected at the time that you insert the snake's fangs into the person. And therefore, it's the makish who is chayev, the meshich, who is chayev, the chayev of a murderer, and that's besayev. The nochash over here would be potter, because the nochash is being used by someone as an object and hasn't done anything at all. Masha'in Kain, according to the Chachonim, who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, no, the nochash is the one responsible here. That's because they hold Eretz Nachash Mi'atzmo Humeki. It's not an immediate response to the insertion of fangs. There needs to be a separate act of injecting venom. That act of injecting venom is the Nachash's. So the Nachash would be the Chiyav of Skila, and the Makish, or Meshich, is probably the correct word. So we don't know of a word Makish, as a point that doesn't appear in the Aruch. So the Mashiach, the one who brings about the bite, he would be potter because he didn't do anything. He essentially was only the Goreim. Okay? So in other words, you may say, okay, but you know, what's a poor Nachash supposed to do? I mean, but that doesn't matter. We have exactly the same case we discussed before by a human who's being now forced to sleep with an Erevah. Exactly the same case. Somebody takes this person, he's using his body to sleep with an Erevah. Now the question is, but he can't create that person's erection. And therefore, says the Gemara, there's never an onus by Arias. So you're going to say, the person said, what am I supposed to do? I can't stop myself. The Nochash could say the same thing. You know, this is what happens to me when I find my fangs in somebody's flesh. I always eject venom. It doesn't matter, but it's your ejection. And the same thing is true over here. So despite the fact somebody puts you into this position, that's not an onus. The last piece requires your involvement. And therefore, here too, the question is, who is chayev? Is the nachash chayev? Is the meshich chayev? That's good for the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Rabban.
The reflex is considered your...
It's not quite a reflex. It's not a reflex.
If it was, but if it was...
If it were mamish a reflex, then ain't nothing on me. Maybe not.
What voluntary... Why does someone argue over this? So I get that just why does they argue about it? Like, this is a reality case, isn't it? Where you can just take a jar, put a piece of butter over it,
stick
the fangs in it, and if it drips out of it, then you know it's automatic. I mean, you get it where it doesn't drip, then you know it's not automatic. Why can't they just do that test? Why do they have to argue?
You mean only the lack of venom?
Right, the lack of venom would prove that.
Right, but how will you know that it's?
I think it's
hamakef chavero bein be'even bein be'egrof v'yamdu l'mita. Now somebody, the lashon that we had in the pasuk bein be'even bein be'egrof, somebody attacks somebody here, v'yamdu l'mita. They bring him into court. This guy is in bad shape, and the doctors say he's going to die. And then he tell me mashaya. Now he starts getting better. And then suddenly it takes a turn for the worse. And in the end he dies. You would be chayit, says the Tanakhama. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, no. You would be potter in that case, but we have to understand that what we're referring to over here is not that the guy looks better, but that we have a second medical examination that determines that he's going to live. So we have an omed. We have a doctor's group of doctors defines the person is no longer in danger. Then if he takes a turn for the worse, says Rabbi Nachman, you would be potter. Sheraglayim ledavar, because in this case we have basis to say that he didn't die from the original attack directly, although certainly it may have been goring, maybe it caused him to get a heart attack, or maybe it caused him ultimately to weaken his defenses against infection, and he got an infection. But it wasn't a direct result of the attack, and therefore you're potter, because at most it would be a grommet.
So even if you're
putting a lot of hope.
I mean, it's certainly as good as testimony is. Testimony is also absurd, but this is the way we do our din. I mean, we do according to best information. This is the way the Torah allows us, more than allows us, the Mechayev us to proceed, not according to the facts, but according to the facts as we most see them. Right?
So if you die from a heart attack after being hit and going in and
it's like... That's a grunt. Tana Rabbana. Et zo darash Rabbi Nechemia. Now the following was Rabbi Nechemia's drasha from the pasuk. As a matter of fact, let us take a look, because we're going to be looking at every element of this. Let's look at it inside. And here, the Torah seems to be throwing in a lot of extra words in a way that's unnecessary. That's the lashon of our Mishnah. Use the same idea in order to put us in touch with the pasuk. So somebody hits his friend, Evan Obegrov. All of these people are friends, you'll notice. Velo yamut. Now, velo yamut, and he will not die? What is velo yamut? Velo mate? Velo yamut, he will not die. Venafala mishkav. Im yakum vitalech bakutz al mishantov v'nikamak. If he gets up and walks around, then v'nika ha-makeh. Well, I should hope so. I mean, what did we think? We're going to kill the guy. The guy, he gets up and he's walking around and he's happy. And everything's fine. He's recovered. So what is the point of that whole business? So this is what we're going to darshan now, is the way the pasuk is set up. Because you'll note that the v'lo yamut seems to be defining what we know about the situation. The lo yamut, in other words, we have an estimate that says something, and we are either following or we're disappointed, and that didn't turn out to be the way we thought it would be. But it's something about the future here. So either the lo yamut, as you assumed he would, or we thought the lo yamut, but maybe he did. So let's take a look. Tana Rabban, and Ezuta Rashi Ibn Afemia. Now I don't understand why we need a pasuk to tell me that, says Rabbi Nechemia. I mean, what did you think? You thought that this guy completely recovers and is having a ball, and meanwhile the other one is being executed. I mean, so what's the point of saying v'nika hamakeh? Obviously, the point here is that the im halak, the al mishanto, means zesh amdu lemita. The case over here is that originally he was expected to die, and now v'lo yamut, it turns out he doesn't die. Instead, he gets up italech pachutz. So now we say, aha, wonder if it's still a capital case. Let's have this man examined.
If you were to die now.
No, now we haven't examined. Okay? We haven't examined. Turns out the man is meant to be alive. So now, v'nika hamaker, even if he subsequently dies. That's the point. So, elazesham dulamita, v'kelmi mashaya, le'achakach yichbid umeit, after we determine again that he was meant to live, and in that case, he's patur. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, that's not what it's talking about at all. Well, so what is it talking about? Why do I need to say v'nika hamaker in a case where he was already holei fachutzal misham tov? So, my darshibe. No, they say that simply means shechov shimoto. The v'nika hamaker is not there to tell me that he's potter. Obviously he's potter. V'nika hamaker means that somebody has got to let him out of jail. Somebody has to actively be menake. What was he doing in jail? Uh-huh. You see from here that we put him in jail. So in other words, the potter is good for telling me that in a case where I'm not certain that I've got a capital case, I have to make sure that the defendant is available to be shot if necessary. So he's held, he's imprisoned until we find out what we need to find out. So then, that's a point. So Rabbi Nechemiah Habisha Minale. How about Rabbi Nechemiah? How does he know that we put someone in jail? Yolet mi mekoshesh. He learns that from the mekoshesh. It says, Vayin yichuoto b'mishmar. They didn't know what to do. They put him in the jail. So that's a good point. It says the Farish, what do I need for the Kamakeh? Rabbana Nami Lilfe Mimekoshesh. Why don't the Rabbana simply learn it out of a Mekoshesh? No. Mekoshesh was a given that the guy was Chai of Misa. So of course he's put into jail in order to execute. The only problem was that Moshe Lahaviyadak Saleh Bamai. Moshe did not know what the chiyuv it says that bechalalel mot yuman. That says beferish in the pasuk, and we knew that before the mekoshesh, but we never knew what the chiyuv was. Tosu says, why didn't we know what the chiyuv was? Is maybe if it's a stam misa, it should be shenek. So Tosu says because they always held that we should learn it out of avodat kochavim maybe, and it should be beskila because we have all of the comparisons of Shabbos to avodat kochavim. Right? So if that's the case, they didn't quite know. They wanted to make sure. So there I understand that I put him into jail. But in this case, why should I put the man into jail? He has the benefit. He's innocent until proven guilty. So far, we don't have any reason to assume that the guy is going to die. So why should we put him into jail? In this case, we don't know that he's Chayav Misa. So who's to say that we put him into death row? Maybe he'll be Chayav Misa. That I need to know from the Pasuk of Nika Makeh. Hey, that's a good point. Hey, Rabbi Nechemiah, what are you going to do about that? How can you learn it out of the Mekoshesh? Says Rabbi Nechemiah, indeed you're right. I'll learn it out of the Megadet. The case by the Megadet, where it also says that they put him into jail. And over there, they didn't know if he was Chayev Bechlau Misa, because we didn't have the Chayev of Megadet. So lo have a Yadi Bak Talahu Ulam. They didn't know in that case whether he was a baktala, v'chapshu, and nonetheless, they locked him up. Okay, that's a good point too. So how did the Rabbanan not learn it from there? No, the Rabbanan say the Megadev was a hora'at sha'ahaita. The only reason that they put him in over there is because they held that it's the correct thing to do. And normally we wouldn't have done it if it's because this is the case of the Megadet is even worse than our case. In our case, the man did an act which, if it turns out someone dies from, will be a Chiyuv Misa. By the Megadet, they didn't even know whether the Torah would require the person for being Megadet. So therefore, really, they shouldn't have put him in jail even after we would have learned out the din of being Chovesh. So clearly the response over there was a response also a Rasha. They held that the requirement was to react forcefully against this kind of event. It wasn't Beikrad. These opinions, by the way, are based on the Yukim of the Pasuk that show up in the Brisa. Take a look. Kitatanya. Yodea Hayam Moshe Rabbeinu Shem HaKoshesh B'mita. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekoshe was Chayim, Shenema Mechalalea Mot Yumat. But Lohai Yodea Be'ezo Mita Nerak. He wasn't sure what the Chiyav was. Therefore, when they put him into jail, it says that they put him in Kilo Purash. It wasn't clear to them, Ma Yeaselo, what to do. In other words, we know we have to do something, we just don't know what. Mashain came by the Megadeth, it doesn't say Maya Selo. It doesn't say, it says only Lifaresh Lamapi Hashem. To tell them Api Hashem, Yishalo Haya Moshe Yodea at all. Imu Ben Mita Kol Ikar Imlat. So these diyukim are well-based diyukim and the psukim. Now, Bishleim El Rebbe Nechemya, the way Rebbe Nechemya is learning, the Pusik makes a lot of sense. Because there's really two steps in the Pusik. He learns v'nikah ha-makeh, means that we check him out, we do a second umdana, and now it turns out that he's supposed to live, and he dies. But the truth is that we have separate umdanas in this pasuk, because we have the v'lo yamut. What was v'lo yamut here for? So there's got to be an original umdana. So what are these two umdanas? The two umdanas, according to Nechemya, are very clear. We have two umdanas. Chad amdu l'mita v'chaya. One was, he obviously was supposed to die, and then he didn't. V'lo yamut. So that tells me, I might have thought, look, Bezdin has to paskin on the basis of their best estimate of the situation. The guy has been checked by medical team. They say he's going to die. It's going to take him 3 months, but he's going to die. We're not going to keep this guy waiting. We'll kill this guy, because he killed someone already, despite the fact that the patient still lives, right? Now, how about if the patient recovers? If the patient recovered, it was a miracle, and what does that have to do with it? God likes the patient, so therefore we should pot to the murderer. He did an act of murder, and he's hired. That's what I would have thought.
The fact that there's no body.
That's right. It's the perfect crime. And you get killed for the perfect crime. So, therefore, comes along the Pusik to tell me that even though he was originally supposed to die, if v'lo yamut, that there is no chiddush. That's why it says it. So, v'lo yamut, he didn't die as expected. So, what did he do? He was v'nafal l'mishkav. Okay. So, now you know, shifto yitein. You now have to pay the damages, because we're not talking about a case of Misa over here. Then we have the next case. Oh, im yakum v'italecha mishanto. So now he goes out to the marketplace and he's around, meaning that now we have defined him as someone who can be metalech mishanto. In other words, he's somebody who's going to recover. Then v'nika hamakeh, even if subsequently he will die. So the prophet is going out of its way to discuss two cases of umdanas in order to tell me an expectation of death is not Mekhayev if he doesn't die. An expectation of life potters if he does die. So then the Pasuk makes a great deal of sense according to Rabbi Nechemya. But according to the Rabbanan, all they explained was the word, v'nika hamakeh, which from that they learned that he must be, he was imprisoned up until this time, right? But what about the umdana? Because I certainly don't need, I mean, let's say according to Rabbanan, if the pasuk was meant to mean only that he was expected to die, but he didn't die, therefore free the guy, what do we have that whole extra piece? That, oh, or if he goes out on Mishanto, leave that whole thing out. All you have to say is, v'lo yamut v'nafala mishkav, yenika hamakeh, period. You don't need anything else. That v'nika hamakeh would tell you right then and there, v'lo yamut. The umdana didn't work, they made a mistake, he didn't die, v'nika hamakeh, let him out of prison. The whole extra piece, they haven't explained, have they? They just explained the words v'nika hamakeh. And we let them off easy, now we're coming back to attack them again. So now, how did they explain that whole extra piece of the pasuk? Obviously, there was another umdana there that told us that it was meant to be that this guy was going to live. Now, if he really dies afterwards, they hold in the Mishnah he's chayev. So the Pusik is not coming to tell me when he comes, I can't be dies. So what is it coming to tell me? And that's very strange. So in other words, we're essentially asking what we should have asked before over here. So here, according to Rabbanu, we'll have to explain like this. Shrei Yudin Alamali, Chad Amdu Lamisa Bechoya, V'Chad Amdu Lamisa L'Chaim V'Meis. They will learn that one case, they'll say the exact opposite of Rabbi Nachemya. One case is that he was supposed to die. That's the V'lo Yamut. He doesn't die. He ends up living. So in other words, V'lo Yamut, according to them, they say, doesn't mean the way Rabbi Nachemya, the original umdana was that he should die, but we disappointed the umdana. They're saying, no, that was the umdana. V'lo Yamut. The umdana essentially was that the guy was not supposed to die. So V'lo Yamut, he wasn't supposed to die. Then Shifto Yitain, even if he did die. So then we agree that if initially it's been estimated that this man will live, at which point we decide, okay, if he's going to live, you're going to owe him $100,000 for his doctor bills and so on. We have, because that's the law, we don't wait till after the bills come in and then have the guy go through 3 years of court to recover it. He's awarded that immediately. If it turns out that it wasn't needed, that's his good luck. So the money we set aside now. You owe him $100,000 for his various costs. Then he goes in and he dies. There were no medical costs. He died. So comes along the pasuk to say, that doesn't make any difference. Shivto yitain v'rapo yirapay. He still has to pay for his medical bills. So in other words, here the umdana is in terms of not dying, but what will your costs be, and we award you those costs. So according to the Rabbanan, it's the exact opposite. We read the pasuk v'lo yamut as being the umdana, not the disappointment of the umdana. So the umdana being v'lo yamut, then shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. He's got to pay even if the guy did die. He has to pay what we originally thought his costs would be.
But if we already said that he has to...
Okay. So there we give him his money, his shifto, his refuato, and so on and so forth. But the next case is that we're disappointing an umdana. The imya kum, and if the doctors turn out to be wrong, and now he gets up and he, in fact, lives. It's the exact opposite of Rabbi Nachemya. Rabbi Nachemya is saying the second umdana was that he was going to live and he ended up dying. The first umdana was that he was going to die, but he doesn't die. So the Chachamim say, no, it's just the opposite. V'lo yamut is the umdana. And then when it says, v'im yakum, that is, you see, they were wrong. That said he was going to die. And now he was yakum. So now what happens? So the second case was, they said he was going to die, and now, yakum v'italeh b'chutz. Then, shifto yitain. But, in other words, the implications being that if he was originally supposed to die, and in the end he did die, even though in the interim we thought he wasn't going to die, he would still be chayev. That's how the Rabbanim learned the pasuk. Only if he really didn't die, then you pay him for his costs. But if he really did die as he was meant to die originally, so then he would be chayev. So each one sees in the pasuk a riot at a position here that they've staked out in the Mishnah. The Rabbi Nachemya. What about Rabbi Nachemya? Why don't we need a riot that in a case where he was supposed to live and die, that the halacha then would be that he's not killed, and that instead he pays? So he says, what do we need a pasuk for that for? Lo tzarich kra. Sharei yatza mi beit din zakai. I know from the din of Nakivet Tzadik al Taharog, so we dash it Tzadik al Taharog, once you've been Madik somebody in the din, even if he isn't Naki, don't kill him. So over here, have we been Madik him in the din? It's no different than all cases where somebody, this is a double jeopardy case. We were Madik him, we were Madik him. It turns out that we were wrong, what can you do? So that's a given. I don't need a pasuk here to teach me that halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamaket Chaveiro Ba'amdu L'mita. Praise me, how did it get so late? So somebody goes ahead, attacks his friend. We have an umdana, he's going to die. He turns out that he lives. V'chaya. Potrinoto. The guy is potter. On the other hand, Amdu L'mita, V'hakel Mimasha Yom Dimoto. Mimasha Ya. We now, turns out that he's doing well. So now we do another omid. Omdimoto Omid Sheni. the purpose of this second Omed is to discover how much his rewards or awards are for his costs. So it's the Omed Sheni and the Zalmona. In Le'acha Kehich Bidu Meit, if now he goes ahead and he dies, then Holech Acher Omed Amtsa'i, you still follow the middle Omed, meaning the second Omed, in which he was going to live. And it doesn't matter that he ended up dying, and this, of course, is Divrei Nechemya.
So he gets the money and is patur.
He pays the money, but he's patur from Misa. So says Rabbi Nechemya. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Omed Acher Omed. There's no case of an Omed to make him a Yotza Mibezdin Zakai. If the guy ends up dying, then we're going to go according to the original act and say that it's certainly the chiyuv of Misa that we had initially, because this is a gilui that our second omid was wrong. Tanya Ida, the other bright says, Amduhu lemita, omdim oto lechayim. Lechayim, in omdim oto lemita. So once we were omid him lemita, so then we could still do, if he seems to be getting better, a second omid in Besdin for not being killed, but for payment. So we don't say having once hit the man in a way that we thought he was going to die for that Yerchayev. We don't say such a thing. In the other case, if we were omed him l'chayim, we do not go back now. If we saw we made a mistake originally, we don't go back now and say that, well, now it looks like he's going to die. Let's do an omed now and kill him. No, because he was already Yatsami Besdin Zakai. That's Rebbe Nechemya's approach all along. So we don't have a second one, l'mita. And therefore, Amdu Lamitav Hakel Mimashaya, Omdimoto Omecheni Lemamon. The most that we'll do is we'll check out now how much money he's supposed to pay. The Imleacha Kenichbido made, if it turns out that we were wrong and he does die, we weren't wrong. We were right. He just died because of some other thing. And Mishala Nezek Vitzar Leyorshim. As far as we're concerned, he's still chayev in paying what we said he was going to pay, except he pays it to the heirs instead of paying it to him. And by the way, mi'ematai mishalem, because remember, by the time we do the Omid Sheni, this man is in pretty bad condition. He's walking around on a cane and so on. He's not going to get fetched much in the marketplace. But you'll say, but from the original haka'ah, that was supposed to, the guy was supposed to die from that. So you're potter of that haka. No. We go back and we say, look, if the guy didn't die, then it was the original haka that we have to be omed on now. And we're saying his current condition is one in which he's going to live, but his value is the difference between what it was before the first attack, before the omed. So me'ematai mishalem, misha shehi kohu. Now this, of course, this brisa is stama k'rebi nefem, this is entirely year k'rebi nefem. It doesn't even mention the possibility of a second omed lemisha.
If the guy dies,